Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There are thousands of military officers from forces to travel to U.S. bases for training each year, foreigners, and they learn and work side by side with American service members, usually, of course, without any incidents. But this morning, a Saudi Air Force officer pulled out a gun in the middle of a classroom at the Pensacola Naval Air Station, shooting and killing three people before he himself was killed. This does raise a concern about the foreign officers training program.
Is there enough screening and vetting of the foreign officers who come here? And is the risk worth the benefit? Colonel Peter Mansour is retired from the U.S. Army. He served as an executive officer to General David Petraeus in Iraq, currently is a professor of military history at Ohio State. So I get that we have many, many foreign nationals who train with the U.S. military, both in the country and overseas. But I guess, as we pointed out, I suspect, the real question is vetting, isn't it? How well are they vetted?
Well, it's really up to the country that sends the military officers to the United States for training to vet their own personnel. The U.S. military really doesn't get involved in that. If this is just a one-time event, I don't see that situation changing. If it happens again, then my guess is that changes will be in order, especially for officers coming from perhaps Middle Eastern countries. If this was indeed a terrorist-related action rather than just some sort of personal vendetta.
So how does it work, the system? They have officers they want to get trained, and they just kind of say, let's enroll them in these programs, and then we say, yes, come on over?
No, actually, we say you have one or two slots in this class. We would like to see one of your officers over here. And we get a lot out of this, because as these officers go back to their home countries and rise in rank, they understand U.S. military doctrine. They have friendships, perhaps, that they've gained with U.S. military officers. And this has impact down the line as people rise in rank to the senior levels. And that's good for us and our relations with those militaries around the world.
Yeah, but, you know, you said something in passing that I think a lot of people might find interesting, that these foreign nationals are vetted in their own countries, but not by the U.S. military. And I'm wondering if that makes much sense. And I'm thinking about, for example, in civilian traveling around the world, in many foreign countries, they don't rely on the foreign country to vet people coming into the U.S. They often have U.S. TSA-type people at foreign airports to make sure that the people coming on planes to the U.S. are vetted by our standards.
Right. Well, I'm sure that there's going to be a relook of, you know, exactly how we vet or how host nations vet their military officers. Again, if this is more than just some sort of personal vendetta, if this is actually someone who's a jihadist who snuck through, then there's going to have to be some changes, because we can't have, obviously, foreign nationals shooting our military personnel in the United States.
They'll obviously talk to the people who knew this man, maybe who were part of the program with him. What can Saudi Arabia, what should they do here? We've heard the president say that he got a call from the king, but we've heard the governor of Florida say, look, that country needs to make things better for these victims. They need to do good here.
Yeah, I can see perhaps, you know, the Saudi government consider some sort of salacia payments to those who were killed and wounded. I don't know, but it's certainly an option. They certainly can afford it. But more than that, they need to delve into this person and his background and exactly why this event occurred. It's really early in the investigation. We don't want to jump to conclusions, but if it is terrorist-related, they need to have a very deep dive into his background and how he snuck through the cracks.
But even if it isn't a terrorist related, why wait then for something perhaps the next time that might be terrorist related to occur before changing the vetting system? It just seems to me to make an awful lot of sense for the U.S. to vet its own way people from other countries coming to train on a base with weapons instead of relying on somebody else.
You know, it depends on what his motivation was. I don't know what it was. So, you know, we have good relations with the militaries around the world. And, you know, we don't want to disrupt that too much on the basis of just one act. And if it was a one-off, some sort of personal action by this person, then I'm not sure we need to change the system. I don't know that. If it's terrorist related, certainly we need to do more vetting. But if it's something that's a mental health related or whatnot, I'm not sure how increased vetting would discover that ahead of time.
That's Colonel Peter Mansour, retired from the U.S. Army, served as executive officer to General Petraeus in Iraq, currently professor of military history at Ohio State.